fun and info. Finfo. Or would that be funfo? Either way, it's time for It's Your Health, and it ain't rocket science. Here are Dr. Decker Weiss and Dr. Holly Lucille.
Where's the beef, or do you really need it? Paleo diets, Atkins diets. I'm sure somewhere there's the all-animal diet. The highs and lows. Is beef good for you? Is beef bad for you? Or we need to put this to rest. Physicians to patients out there, to clients out there, to whatever, do we really need beef as a protein source in order to survive as people? Why do some people, they only feel better when they have beef? Are those people a little bit kooky, or are those people actually that's what they need? Holly, we've talked about lots of different protein sources, but I want to go right to the heart of this matter. Do you think there's some people out there that just need to eat beef every day?
Well, here's the deal. I don't think anybody's kooky. I think that we are all vulnerable in our own way, okay? Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of myths and misconceptions, and there's a lot of messaging around all things health, I would say. But especially, you know, a couple things when it comes to protein. And we all know protein is contained in high amounts in animals, right? So we're talking about beef, we're talking about fish, we're talking about chicken, turkey, you mm-hmm. name it. Mm-hmm. But can we get protein from plant sources? And can we get enough? And I think that's, from what I hear of my patients, something that's a little confusing. So I want to help clear that up.
Okay, roll.
Now, to your question, some people just feel better eating beef? I'm an advocate, mostly because of personal experience and as well some great clinical experience and clinical results when it comes to a serotype or blood type diet. Dr. Diodamo is the foremost, I think, researcher in this area, and mm-hmm. we'll have an entire segment on it, I promise. But for the most part, there are some people, I think, from a genetic predisposition, from a genotype, or from a blood type, that might do better with a higher ketogenic, meaning higher protein sources from animals and lower grains or what have you. But here,
and that's the O blood type, right?
That's you're talking about blood type,
O blood type.
Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
So that's the O blood type. Okay, gotcha.
But not to get into blood types, because I want to go through that, because I think it's a really important conversation. I think what's really important to understand is how much protein do we need, and for people that choose vegan or vegetarian lifestyles, can they get enough protein? And I would say absolutely yes. And this is one of the things that are out there that's very confusing. A lot of times, I'll talk to my patients about calcium. And, you know, because they're like on these crazy high levels of calcium supplements. Yeah. And I'll tell them, I'm like, well, can we just take a look at your diet? I want to see how much calcium you're getting in your diet. And they're like, well, I don't eat dairy. And I'm like, listen, if you're eating, I promise you, you're getting calcium.
Especially greens, yeah.
Oh, I mean, and in high amounts. And it's sort of the same thing with protein. If you're eating, you are getting protein. I mean, and it's true that meat has more protein than vegetables, but the amount in vegetables is pretty much already more than you need, believe it or not.
Is that so? That's true. So, because I always think of horses. I mean, they eat hay and barley and all this stuff, and they got these huge muscles. And I think, why are they not shaking up protein shakes, these horses, after races? They run this race, and then they're sitting there eating grass. And I'm like, how did they get that muscle? So that's what you're saying. There's enough in those plants to build good, healthy tissues.
Yes, you're talking about, so let me just talk about, besides me, the protein content of various foods. Fruit, about 6.7%. Nuts and seeds, so we're talking about walnuts, almonds, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, 11%. Grains, 13%. Vegetables, 22%. And then legumes, your kidney beans, black beans, adzuki beans, 28%. And there is peer-reviewed research suggesting that we need as little as 2.5% of our calories from protein, okay? And so
that's it.
I advocate, quite honestly, no matter how you're eating, because listen, I know that there's some hot diets out there right now. The paleo diet is very, very hot. So the paleo, just to make this simple, is kind of eating as a paleolithic, like we were when we were cavemen. So anything that you can hunt and gather. And so not a lot of legumes, okay, because that kind of came later. We're talking about plants. We're talking mm-hmm. about meats. And that's pretty much about it. No dairy. And there's that diet out there. And then I mean, some of my best friends and some of my colleagues are vegans that don't eat any animal product whatsoever, and they worry about getting proteins. But guess what? No matter how you choose to eat, I think what's really important, and you're going to keep yourself covered across the board, except one thing, I'm going to tell you about one thing, is if you stay plant strong and nutrient dense, okay? That's the thing. Because here's the deal. I know some people that are eating paleo and CrossFit. I'm a CrossFitter. I'm a CrossFit athlete. I'm a CrossFit competitor. Paleo is huge. But if you're only eating a burger, or they call it caveman candy, which is like bacon-wrapped dates, you are still having a really malnourished diet. Because where are your plants? Where is that fiber? Where are those phytonutrients? Where is the color? And your anthocyanidins, your antioxidants, your phenols and polyphenols, where are they? They're missing. So if you stay plant strong, I call it, and nutrient dense, there's this great score that you can actually Google. It's called the ANDI score. It's A-N-D-I, all right? And it stands for Aggregate Nutrient Density Index. How dense in nutrients is what you are eating. I don't know. That sentence was crazy, but I hope you know that it meant.
ANDI score. Well, I'm going to summarize that. So, and I think that there's a blog coming here, but I get the other side of this, Holly. So I get people coming in and say, hey, I'm on a good thing. I'm on paleo diet, and they're inflamed because all animal protein to some degree, except maybe salmon, has that inflammatory side. So I see people who think they're doing right. They've signed up for the paleo, the Atkins, the O, whatever it is, but they're doing just almost all meat. They're going more and more towards it because it's so available, and they're very unhealthy. They're inflamed and nutrient depleted.
That's right. And so I always want to caution people. I love when people start trying new things. That's fine. I think it's great, especially if it's particularly biochemically right for them. But I think across the board, no matter how you choose to eat, I think that we already know, and we're going to have a segment on this coming up, on gluten. And is it just for celiacs? I don't think so. I think that, especially in America, where there's this dwarf wheat that we've been eating that's been proven and that research has been mounting up and we've been indexing these studies that is causing health issues, that grains should be limited. Even whole grains, you know, it's like I have patients come in, it's like, yeah, but my Cheerios are whole grains. And I'm like, have you ever gone to a field? Have you ever gone to a field and actually like pulled, you know, like the wheat, the hull and the berries, and like that is a whole grain. Your Cheerio is completely refined. I don't know how they get away with being able to say, and, hey, this is full of whole grains.
And more fiber in the box than in the cereal. That's what I always
exactly.
say. Exactly.
If you want to chew on that box, you're going to be better off for sure.
Yeah, and I'm a fiber guy. Yeah, it is. It gets crazy. But we can't forget about the inflammatory factor. If you're moving to these all-meat diets, you're going to be systemically inflamed, which is cancer, heart, autoimmune. It just doesn't work in the long term. There's going to have to be some balance. And I just want to keep bringing that up because I get these people who think they're doing right, but they're not.
Well, and that is... They're taking it there. It's not, you know what it is? It's my whole thing. It's like, hey, wait, okay, I get it. I love you. Thank you so much for trying something new, but let's think this through. You know, we probably overshot because you still have to stay plant strong. And the thing is that it's really easy. Like I had my friend, we were at a restaurant and I had seen her because we were at a CrossFit competition and she ate a dozen bacon wrapped dates. And then that night for dinner, she had, a burger with no bun, awesome, great. And what does she have? Sweet potato fries, awesome, great. But what? That's still a lot of trans fats. That's a lot of saturated fats.
Yes. I want to quick summarize. Protein is high in animal stuff, but it's available in plants. What Dr. Holly has said, and I didn't realize it, we only need 2.5% of our food to actually be protein a day to be good and healthy. Don't forget genetics come into play. There is an individual piece to this. Some people might feel better with beef. Remember, organic, hopefully compassionately raised beef, I think, is a lot better. Look at your buffalo. The ANDI score on Google, A-N-D-I-S score. Take a look at that. Plant strong, nutrient dense foods. Stay plant strong at RadioMD.com.